2 Corinthians chapter 8 is not where one would typically turn when thinking about the Lord's Supper, but actually talking about giving and our willingness to give and why we should give, or part of why we should give. But Paul is actually talking to the Corinthians there about their sincerity and their desire to give, and he's encouraging them to do this and that they should do it. And in verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And he's using this as a point to be ready to give, and they wanted to give, and when he came, they were going to have the opportunity to give so that they could help the saints elsewhere. And he makes a point that Christ is the ultimate example of this and that they should be willing to give. But I think that we, and Paul is certainly meaning so much more than just being able to give of our means and understanding what Christ did for us. Christ, as it says here, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Well, in what way through Christ's poverty did we become rich, and what did he give up? Well, how rich was Jesus? That's not something we normally think about, right? We think about Jesus in many ways, but we don't ever think about him in terms of how rich he was and that he became poor per se. But he certainly was rich. He was, after all, at creation, the creator of all things with his Father and the Holy Spirit. All things were made through him, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He made all things. He was there with God, the Father, at the beginning. He made the world. It was his. He made it. We can see this certainly, that it wasn't just that he made it, but it continued to be his, and it's held in existence by him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15, beginning, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." And Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, about God, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness." No matter how rich a man has been in the history of mankind, no one's owned the earth or the universe. That's how rich God is. That's how, if we want to try to put it in those kinds of terms, how rich God is. He owns it all. Christ owns everything. Yet he lowered himself and became poor on our behalf. He came, Philippians, the second chapter, Philippians 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Christ came to this world as a man, but not just a man of high stature, a man that was a servant, a bondservant, if you will. He came in a lowly form. He came as one who was poor. He states that in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, he says, "Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He's having to chastise the apostles at this point because the mother of John and James had made the request to Jesus that they would have the honor of sitting on Jesus' right hand and his left hand. And Jesus is chastising them because there is rumblings about this request and all. And he is making sure that they all understand the attitude that they need to have. Not one of being in a position of honor, but to be one who served, just as he came to serve, not to be served. So we certainly see that Jesus came as a man. He came in the likeness of man. He took on flesh so that he could come for us, as it says in verse 28, that to give his life a ransom for many. We read this further, or this idea, in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Christ had come as man. He had to come so that he can condemn sin in the flesh. He came as a man so that he could do that, so that we have the opportunity. But Christ did all this willingly. He lowered himself. He gave up what he, even though he was equal with God, he did not keep this so that he could come to the world, that he could be a lowly man, one who, like us, and a servant. Hebrews chapter 2, we read a little bit more about why he did this for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Christ came so that he could be partakers as we were, but that he would have power over death and over the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Christ came so that he could die for us and be the propitiation for our sins. He would be tempted as we were tempted, so that he could be able to give us aid. And he certainly does and has. If we turn back to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, he did all this, but it wasn't going to be easy. But he did it willingly, and we see the attitude that he had in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Facing death was going to be no easy thing for Christ, and it was no easy thing. Hebrews chapter 5, we get a glimpse of the fact that it was a challenge for him. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. So Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Christ offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to be saved from death. But he knew that he needed to die, and he was obedient to his Father in dying for us. We think about the vehement prayers and the agony that he went through. Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, being in agony as he's in the garden praying, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He had asked his Father, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours." Man had sinned, and God could not overlook our sin. God established a way to bring our sinfulness, the sinful man, back to him without overlooking this sin. It was going to be through Christ. Christ had to give his life on the cross for us because God could not tolerate sin. It was unacceptable to be before him, but yet he needed a way to bring it back. and bring us back. That's through Christ. He was our propitiation. He died for us because we're all sinners. All man has sinned. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But now, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. It was through Christ and his blood that he passes over our sins. It was through Christ's crucifixion and the shedding of his blood that we're able to be justified. Jesus, when we think about it, the possessor of heaven and earth, became poor and rejected by man. He was the Prince of Peace. He could have called 10,000 angels, but yet he willingly gave himself to die on the cross, even though it was very traumatic, even though it was very painful, even though it was difficult for him. He did it because he loved us, he loved the Father, and obeyed him. He did it all willingly so that we could be saved. Because as he describes to God, as he is praying to him, or as he's stating that he is the good shepherd and that he was going to lay down his life for his sheep, he did that. John chapter 10, he speaks of the fact that he is the good shepherd and that he would die for his sheep. And he did. Jesus went from riches to poverty so that we could go from poverty to riches. That's what Paul told the Corinthians, and it's certainly true. But the riches that we talk of and the poverty that we talk of is our soul. We were lost. We had nothing. We were sinful. But the riches that we have are the grace and mercy that God shows, and the fact that we can stand before him in eternity if we serve him, because Christ died for us. We are now forgiven and look forward to an eternity in the presence of God because of his love, which was demonstrated and allows us to be called children of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. We know him because he loved us, because Christ died for us. You know, I'm convinced that we lack the ability to describe how rich we really are from the mercy and grace that God has demonstrated to us through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. But we certainly are rich. All of us are blessed bountifully because of what he has done for us. And I'm convinced also that we would take it for granted if it weren't for opportunities on the first day of the week to remember the sacrifice of Christ, to remember that he humbled himself and came as a man so that he would suffer as a man and die for us and shed his blood for us. And we have the opportunity now to remember that great sacrifice and all that God did for us and Christ did for us, and that Christ died on the cross, and that he suffered on the cross and gave his life and shed his blood for our sins. And we have the opportunity now to take of the emblems established by Christ. Let's do that now.